Star record.
Start it. Let's do this.
Woo! All right. Hello, hello. Let's welcome again to Carve from the Rock Ministries with Tim.
Enjoy.
Thank you again for joining us this evening. We're going to continue our march through the book of Romans. It's a very good book in the Bible. And we're going to continue with chapter 7, Romans 7 this evening. And Joy is going to open us up in prayer. We'll start reading through scripture.
Okay. God, we thank you so much. You are a good God. We ask that you bless us, keep us. We put on the full armor and we thank you for it, Lord. And Lord, we just ask that you show us more in your word. Help us to understand, lead us and guide us. And we love you and thank you so much for all that you have done for us, for going to the cross. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen to that. Woo! Amen to that.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus, for going to that cross
for
us.
He's good. He's good.
Yes. That God sent Jesus to the cross for us, for you. That he went to the cross and died for our sins, for your sins.
But I didn't always think he was that good. I mean, I'll be honest. Oh, yeah. I remember thinking, I think I said it before, he's like this big God waiting to zap me because of, you know, all the bad things I had done. I did not realize the love that he has for us. I never felt the compassion or didn't understand how to feel the compassion that he had for me. And it's overwhelming.
Yeah. And I used to think that he was just so holy that he was untouchable and you couldn't even talk to him or pray to him. Like, you know, everything, you know, like you had to go to a priest or something and you couldn't talk to God. But really, you can talk to God anywhere you...
That's what he wants. He actually wants you to get to know him. He already knows
God,
you.
Yeah. God does.
He wants you to get to know him. But anyway, we'll go on and start. We're going to go to 7. How far down? We're not going to read all of 7.
Yeah, but we're going to touch on some key scriptures in 7 and just talk
4?
About them. Yeah, we're going to start in Romans chapter 7, verse 4.
Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. You wanted me to read that, and why?
And so it's saying married to another, to him. Yeah. So you hear
him is capitalized. So
yeah,
that's
right.
For Jesus.
That's for Jesus. So you hear that about the bridegroom in scripture, and so we belong to Christ when we believe and receive and accept him as our Lord and Savior. And that when we become dead to the law, that means we're not following the law. We're through the new covenant, which is through Jesus.
Well, I think the next two verses actually say that, don't they? Mm-hmm. So I'll read 5. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the spirit and not in the oldness of the letter.
Right there. Yeah. The oldness of the letter is the Old Testament, and the newness of the spirit is in Jesus that died on the cross for our sin and was raised again after 3 days. And so the death and resurrection of Christ is the newness that we have in not following the old laws. Because it is very tedious when you look at all the old laws of the Old Testament.
Yeah.
And you think, wow, how can I uphold or how can anybody uphold all these laws?
And we couldn't.
We couldn't. We couldn't do it.
That's why and God Jesus came.
Right. And then God realized that. And he's like,
is there 600 laws in the Old Testament? I used to think it was about 400 and through other research, I don't know the perfect answer, and that's okay. I don't have to know the perfect answer. The moral of the story is there's a lot.
There's a lot, and we can't keep up with them all. And God knew that, and you can see through all the mess, the Old Testament, all the feasts and the famines and the wars and just the
laws,
the desecration and the desolation. I mean, there's just so much wrong going on with mankind, and God's probably just realizing, oh man.
Well, he did realize it with Noah, right? Yeah.
Oh man.
But he promised not to do that again through the rainbow.
Yeah, with the great flood and all that. He wiped out Yeah, he said.
But he was that frustrated with us. He had created us. He loves us. He's a good, loving God. Mm-hmm. And yet we had pushed him to the brink. And we all know, or a lot of people probably know, your kids can really push you to the brink sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine how God felt that, you know, his creation pushed was that far that he's going to leave eight alive and some animals. It's,
eight human beings
we were in.
Yeah, eight human beings alive on the ark.
Yeah.
And with all the animals.
But, so you were also talking about going on ahead like to 14 or 15. What did you say?
Or where we, one of the verses I've got underlined is verse 8, Romans 7, chapter 7, verse 8.
Can you read it?
And it, yeah, go ahead.
But sin taking opportunity by the commandment produced in me all manner of evil desire. For apart from the law, sin was dead. I was alive once without the law, but when the commandments came, sin revived and I died.
Yeah, and so what Paul's talking about there is that
Well, he says right below it in 11,
yeah,
for sin taking occasion by the commandment deceived me and by it killed me. Therefore, the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good.
Yeah, and our sinful nature responds to the law, but our spirit nature responds to Jesus, to the... So what it comes down to is we know in our heart of hearts, good and bad. We know when we do wrong. You know, if you do something wrong, you have that guilt inside or that self-condemnation that you said, man, I wish I wouldn't have done that. That was wrong. Even if it's something
that's not... Or you were glad you did it, that you didn't care that you were wrong. There's different people different levels. You know, there's times when you do things and you don't care if you're not, you know, close to Jesus or following Jesus or God. You don't care that you hurt people.
Well, I was thinking more of like a child. You know, I'm going to take that piece of candy. I know I'm not supposed to, but I'm going to anyway.
Yeah.
But you don't understand the consequences.
Because we're naturally... we naturally fall under the sin nature of man, and you're just not naturally, I think I said this before, Bible says, be careful that you don't fall away from God because you're not going to fall to God. You're definitely in the nature of, you know, the world, you're going to fall away from God unless you pull and seek him and you pull closer and nearer to him. Naturally fall away because it's our fleshly sinful nature, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's just how we're designed, and
we won't be perfect here, that's for sure.
Yeah, and nobody's perfect, and everybody falls away, and everybody does, you know, everybody messes up and does something wrong, but it may not be as bad as the next person, but we all do something wrong.
And they say all sin can, you know,
yeah,
can't count them good, better, or best. Sin is sin, and that's why we have to depend on Jesus' gift for us, because we can't fix it ourselves.
Yep, we've all fallen short of the glory of God. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, this Romans 7:15 kind of explains it right there. If you want to go ahead and read 7:15.
For what I am doing, I do not understand. This is Paul talking. For what I will to do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Let me keep going.
Just one. Yeah, that one.
Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me.
So that right there, if you stop right there, so that goes back to what we were just talking about,
our sinful nature that
we're born with. And even going back as even a young child, you know, or a baby, You know, you're going to cry and cry and cry until you get what you need. You need to be fed. You need to be changed, you know.
But you learn to be number one as a little baby, too, and we want to hang on to that. Sometimes people want to hang on to it their whole life.
Yeah.
Give me what I want first, and everybody else, you can have any little thing that's left over. But that's our selfish, sinful nature.
Our own personal wants and needs.
Yeah.
We want fulfilled first instead of putting others before us.
But hopefully, when you do get the Jesus, you will want to put others first.
Before you, yes.
And it's not easy or fun, but then once you get in that habit, you realize that's when you actually get the most, is when you put others in front of you.
It's rewarding when you try to take care of others, even perfect strangers.
Yeah,
you try to take care of them or meet help. Their needs, help them, and before
you
take
end up
care
getting
yourself.
So full and filled up, and
right.
it's just such an awesome thing to be able to. And it doesn't have to be this huge level of thousands or millions of dollars or whatever. It can be, you know, $10. Just smile to somebody.
That.
Yeah, not even money.
A
smile to
cup,
somebody.
A hot cup of coffee for somebody on the street that's cold.
Or in the store, grab somebody's coffee in front of you. They're just those, when you learn, I recently read a book by Mr. Green that owns Hobby Lobby. And it's called A Generous Life. Living a Generous Life, I believe is the name. This is not a plug for the book. But it's very insightful on how to become more giving and the rewards that you get from giving. And I don't think you won't ever really grasp it or feel it, you know, within yourself till you start becoming more generous. And it, like I said, it doesn't have to be money. It can be time. It can be with love. Just some kind of generosity of you giving, it changes your focus. You stop focusing on yourself and your issues, how great or how small they are, and you are able to just focus on others, you know, whether it's, you know, somebody needs a Bible or, like I said, it can be anything, but you start to really realize the generous life is the life you want to live.
Yeah, you can share the scripture with somebody.
Yeah.
Just anything.
Yeah.
When we first started ministry work, we didn't have any money. And I remember going to a dollar store and we probably bought like 20 Bibles.
Yes.
And
I forgot about that. Yeah,
the font is so small. And,
yes.
You know, and it was King James Version. And, but we tried. You know, we went to that dollar store and bought those Bibles and passed them out. And, you know, whatever it did, we don't know. But
you find your rewards later in heaven, right?
We attempted, you know, and, you know, we
you do
were
the
just
best
trying,
you can at the time.
We had no budget. Absolutely
no
budget.
We
were just pulling pennies out of our pocket trying to, what can we do to help others?
But you know what? What does he say about that? The widow gave the two mites and she gave more than anybody else because it was all that she had.
All that she had. But, you know, and not to pat ourselves on the back, I'm just saying that's how we started. And that's, you can do anything. You go buy a couple of Bibles at a dollar store and
God
just
will
give
help
them
you
to somebody
out.
Or leave them somewhere. Leave them out on the restaurant table.
Yeah.
Leave it, just take it with you at a
if
restaurant.
You keep seeking God and you ask him, help me figure out what I need to do, what is my place in all of this? Because I think a lot of times everybody thinks they're just supposed to be a preacher or whatever.
Teacher,
and
evangelist.
I'm telling you, God will reveal what he wants you to do and he will help you. And I feel like I went many, many years and did not really realize what my true calling was. I see now more that it's praise and worship, and maybe not what you may think praise and worship, because
not playing a piano
no,
or a
it's
keyboard
something else.
Or,
it's just, I don't know how else to explain it other than it's just truly spiritual praise and worship.
It's your relationship between you and God. And
yeah, but it's one of my gifts, and it's where I can, you know, help others also, and also, you know, to pray for people. I've realized that is, you know, one of my gifts that God has given me. And everybody has gifts, and everybody has different gifts, and everybody could have a lot of gifts. But mm-hmm. you keep seeking God, He's going to help you figure Him out.
The doors will open, yeah. yeah. He'll show you. It could be praying for people.
You didn't know either, right?
I didn't know.
No. So when did you think you sort of came around to
realizing? When I actually just stepped out and did it. So
start
when
doing something?
Yeah, when I started, so I thought I was supposed to preach. And so I went to the lady over the local the local sheriff's department, the jail, mm-hmm. and I asked her if there's any openings, and she said, matter of fact, yeah, Thursday night at 7:30, there's an opening. There's supposed to be five preachers there, and there's only four. We need another one.
Yeah.
Show up at Thursday, 7:30, and I didn't know any better. I showed up in jeans and a hoodie and, you know, have a Bible, and, you know,
I'm preaching with them.
And I went and, you know, going in and, you know, going in the prison, they're like, they were different dorms, and they're like, what dorm do you want? I said, I don't know. Give me the biggest one you got. And then they said, well, there's a 40-man dorm in there. And I walked in there, and the jailer escorted me in there, and he said, okay, there you go, sir. And he stepped backwards and locked the door behind me, and he said, let me know if you need any help, or you got 1 hour, and I'll come unlock the door in 1 hour for you. And, mm-hmm. and your time's up in 1 hour. And I thought, no, wait a minute, now you locked me in the jail with the guys that are locked up, and but it all worked out. And
like us too, doing you know, nursing homes, this and that, over the years, I can't tell you what all we've done, because we've done different things. The whole point about telling you what we've done is you don't always just know on the first go, hey, this is what I do. Some people right. do. We mm-hmm. sure didn't. And if you don't worry about it, just, and don't feel bad, because God will mm-hmm. most definitely show you, help you, get you on the right path. Just trust in Him. He is going to work with you. He loves you. He wants the best for you. He wants you yep. to succeed. So just, you know, be patient. Keep seeking Him. He will put you in the right way.
Mm-hmm. The key is to be in His will, to do His will.
Yes.
But also
be
to glorify Him.
No, yes, and to be glorify, in the Word. You've got to glorify be in
him.
The Word.
Yeah, you got to be in the Word. But to do His will and glorify Him in all the things that you do.
Yeah.
So when you do those two things or three things, and be in the Word also, so be in the Word, be in His will, and glorify Him,
yes,
you will definitely, God will definitely open the doors and show you the direction He wants you to go and where He wants you to be that best fits Him in how to further the kingdom.
And you too, because He knows the desires of your heart.
You.
Yes.
What you desire and what
fulfills you.
What fulfills you and makes you happy.
Yeah, he's not up to send. Remember, Kim used to always think he's going to send her to Africa, and she's like terrified. She's like,
oh, yeah.
If I just let everything go and go with God, what if He does that? I'm not saying He won't, but God really does love you. He wants you in the right place, and He will help you. It'll become your new desire if that's where you're supposed to be going. You'll
right.
be loving it and glad to go. He's not trying to, you know, make you miserable in this life.
No, no. And that's why we love talking to people and meeting new people.
Yeah.
We can have a conversation for hours with people about Jesus, about Scripture, and that, just because we love people. And,
yeah.
I mean, we can just go on. And that's God filled the desire of our heart. It's something we love to do.
Yes.
We love talking to people. And that's why we're here in the podcast. And moving forward with the podcast.
And we're actually getting out of time for this one.
Right,
we will
yeah.
just to be continued and ... for the next one. But we love
yeah.
you. We thank you so much for listening. We ask that God bless you and keep you, make His face shine upon you. If you don't know God, He can be your new best friend.
Mm-hmm.
He'll never turn away from you. Just say, Jesus, come into my heart. We love you.
Mm-hmm.
I love you. I know that Jesus died for my sins. And get in a good Bible-based church.
Yep.
We love you. Thank you so much for coming
yes.
tonight. We will talk to you next time.
Yes. Thank you for joining
love
Carl
you.
From the Rock
Woo.
Ministries. Let's give God a hand clap of praise. Thank you, Lord. Praise
yes.
God. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Thank you.